Savior. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Bless you, brother.
Eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Do you?
I want to see you.
And how do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You love him?
High and lifted up,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy.
He's the only one that's holy.
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen, amen. I want to see him, don't you? It's been a long journey of life, but I want to see him. I want to see him, amen. That's the thing that I want to do. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. And if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to 1 John. Be surprised, we're not going to use Ephesians. Okay, we'll get back to that. 1 John 2. And just remember to pray for our wife. She had a lot of trouble yesterday and last night with her back hurting her a lot. And she went to the doctor and got the shots and things, and it helped on that part. But then Satan just moved it up about 10 or 15 inches above there and started hurting again. And so we just keep fighting him and just keep believing. So we'll go back and get her, the Lord willing, you know, for the evening service, but just remember in your prayers, okay? By way of announcements, Brother Quinn will be with us on August the 7th, so we'll be having our Bible study on the 6th, I guess, because 7th would be on Sunday, and so remember those announcements and just pray that the Lord would bless each one. If you get an opportunity to go up to the Ruth meeting, they're having it the second, third, fourth, fifth, anyhow, of August. So remember that if you get a chance to go. Remember all the other announcements that are made weekly. Brother Ray called me, or I was talking to him the other day, and they said Brother Barry Coffey had been, they told him he couldn't go overseas because he had some kind of a problem, and, they've kind of had him quarantined. So don't know anything anymore about it. Just pray for him that the Lord would bless him and take care of him, okay? 1 John 2. Father, we thank you for everything that you've given us, and we know you said you give them to us freely, so thank you for that. We don't have to pay anything for it. We don't have to do anything to get it. We just have to relax and receive. And Father, we ask you this day to do that for us as we try to speak about you, that, Lord, that you would come on the scene and speak to each one of our hearts and our lives, and, Lord, remember those that are not with us for different reasons. Remember our wife, Lord, being sick last night and this morning and all, Lord, with her back hurting her. Just touch her, Father, and let everything be well, because we believe your word and we thank you. Have your way. Be with Brother Coffey there, ever what the problem will be, and take it away from him. And all these other requests that have come in, we just ask you to manifest yourself and let it be known that you are God through healings and signs and wonders among us. Guide us now, forgive our sins, and lead us, Lord, as we read your word, you come and speak to us about your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 2. Now, this will be a background for to be able to finish Wednesday night. I didn't finish the message. We kind of just went through a preview and review, but I didn't finish up what I wanted to, because I knew it wouldn't have enough time, and the Lord just began to reveal it to me. So, you know, this will be now a background. So remember that. This will be a background up to so far in the message, and then I'll tell you where that we change over, okay? And that way you'll see how it all ties together. But 1 John 2, we'll begin in verse 18. Little children, I think that's who we are. You know, he speaks to the fathers, and he speaks to the grown-up ones, and then to the children in the book of John. And I think we're just a little children. And that's serious, I mean that. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. See, so what's he saying? They went out from us because they wasn't of us. You know what? When we left the Baptists, they said they went out of us because they wasn't of us. You know, that was true. You know, when you left the Presbyterian, you went out from them because you wasn't of them. You may have been of them for a while, but not to stay with them, or we'd have stayed there. So, right, so now we're just manifesting what we are, is what I'm getting at. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. See, then we're not oneness. All right, the next verse, we're not Trinity either. We know the truth, right? Because that's what he's just got through saying. You know the truth. I'm writing to you because you know the truth. See? All right, so then look at what he's saying. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. All right? Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. All right? Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, now remember, remain in you, now that'll be more this afternoon's message, You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we haven't got off of the adoption. We're just breaking down to speak about it, because we studied on adoption and brought it in three stages, you know, the new birth, and then bringing it up to the authority, or the, you know, the point of hear ye him, the headstone coming on the individual and adopting them into the family. And then at that time is to sweep out, as the prophet said, a message that would, you know, from the uniting of the head and body. And it's not another message or another prophet to come, you know, and stuff like that. We're not looking at something like that. It is the message of the hour that we're looking at, so don't misunderstand that. All right? But because I wasn't the one that said that it would sweep out and that there'd be a message. It was our prophet that said that. But see, we're not trying to concern ourselves then with the change in the basis of the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Because that's what everybody talks about. Change, change, rapture, change, change. All right. But see, to me, if we're not in the right place, in the right position, as I've always said, you don't go down to the bus depot to get you an airplane ticket. You know, that's just not even sensible. You know, you go to the airport. And then at that place, you don't go to the wrong terminal, because they list each one. You know, you got American, you got you know, all of these others that are sitting there, Pan Am and all, and Delta, you got to go to the right place. You got to be in the right place. And the prophet of God said to be in the wrong ranks at the rapture would be no excuse.
Right.
Now, I didn't say that. He said it.
Right.
So all I'm trying to do is to get me and you to find the right plane ticket. Okay? If it's Delta, and I don't like Delta. Because the only time I flew Delta to Jamaica, I lost my luggage. And I had to wear Brother Brady's stuff and use Sister Brady's cologne, you know, and deodorants and stuff. And Brother Brady chased me all day. But anyhow, but that was just, you know, and it wasn't their fault, I know, because they have so much. I'm just saying that. But see, let's make sure we line up at the right place and be ready. Because that's all we're supposed to be concerned with. And as I say now, it is not that, no more than about years ago, I told you that I'm not talking about or interested in the going to heaven. I said, because I've always thought and believed that heaven was supposed to come here to get me to take me there. Well, if I go there, I'm in the wrong place. See, because he's here. See, now that's not meaning you're not wanting the Lord to come. It means an understanding, you know, of where we're at and what we're doing. So we got into the adoption, and the adoption is the third stage of adoption is not the change. It is to understand the change. I hope by now that that is dwelling within our hearts of where it says in Romans 8, there, verse 23, to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. See? So then that's what we're trying to do is to get in to understand that. And I believe that's what we're dealing with now is the understanding of that. And we've been dealing with it ever since we started. See? Because it's not a new thing. It's not something different. It's like I told you, when God gave you the new birth, he said he is pleased to dwell in your soul. All right? And in that new birth that he gave you, he laid claim on that body and says you're not going to get another one. All right? So it's working on this one that we're doing. And, you know, and he's been gracious to us all these years and given us 40-something years to be able to preach to try to get us to the position that we can find the right airplane ticket, you know, the airline to get in line and having everything right. But now, so we're not leaving that. We're on the third stage of it, which is to wit, the understanding of the redemption of the body. In other words, learning it. And we must first learn it by even in the mechanics. You know what I'm talking about. The prophet would speak of mechanics and dynamics. The mechanics is the Word. And the Word of God must be sown down in our hearts. And that's what I'm saying, that we've got to be at the right place. If we don't know where to be, how do we know what to do? All right, so we've been told all these years, and we're getting to a position to know where to stay. What? Stay with the Word. Just stay with the Word. Because it's the one that's going to lead us through. All right. Now, what's the point now of what we're going to try to cover today? Because according to what we read in the Bible, it looks odd, doesn't it? He's just got through explaining to the people. That's why we went back to verse 18. We should have read back to verse 1 and come over. You read that sometime and tie it all together. But he tells you, he said, you have, little children, you have the new birth.
Amen.
You have an unction up there about verse 20, which means like dynamite. It's like an anointing. All right? And you have that. And we know, he said, verse 22, that we know the truth. All right? Now, so then don't let nobody deceive you, he said, because you know these things. All right? See, then after all of that saying, it looks like he makes an odd statement in verse 27 because he's talking about the anointing that he's just talked about. All right? And then he says, you don't need nobody to teach you. Well, see, that's what a lot of people in the message today, they believe it that way, and a lot of people in the world believe it that way. We don't need nobody to teach us. See, we have the Holy Ghost. Well, according to the prophet of God, he said, if we have the Holy Ghost, it'll lead us to the Word.
Amen.
All right, if we're not led to the Word, we don't have the Holy Ghost. That's sensible. That's don't take a big brainstorm to understand. That's just plain language. All right. Well, see, then I gave you the quote because we know what it says. See, why would then the prophet said, you know, why would it be that God would write in His Scripture that we need the fivefold ministry? See? And then you turn around and you say, well, Brother Dale, I just stay at home, listen to tapes, I just do this. I want it right straight from Brother Branham. Well, according to the Bible, you won't get it. And now that's the Bible. I'm not responsible for other than telling you what it says. Well, you mean I can't get it without a fivefold ministry? Well, according to the Bible. Now, I mean, settle it, you know. You say, well, Brother Dale, you shouldn't be that I'm not arrogant, I'm just telling the truth. See, and you say, well, we need no man teach us. Well, then shut your tape recorder down and don't listen to Brother Branham, because that's a man teaching you. Come on, see? We think that we're so smart in our doings, and then we trap ourselves. Oh, yes, I stay with the prophet. Well, that's a man teaching you. And no man can reveal anything to you. We'll get to that this afternoon more.
That's right.
See? If he did, what do you need the Holy Ghost for then? They got to work together. That's what I want you to see today. That's my point of the whole message, is to see how the Holy Spirit works with that anointing of the Holy Spirit through somebody else will work in you that's on the inside of you, and it'll come together. See, what's inside of you comes together with what you hear. All right? See, then we have it in perfect order. That's the whole text of what I'm trying to get. So if you miss it, that's my whole point. See? But see, you say, but we don't need nobody to teach us. See? All right, then Brother Branham, what did he say about it? On the message, Egypt in Israel in Egypt, paragraph 104, he says, well, you say, I don't need anybody to teach me. Glory to God. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, then the Holy Ghost was wrong when it said it set some in the church teachers. God put them in the church as teachers. That settles it. Why'd he put teachers in there if the Holy Ghost is going to do all the teaching? Huh? All right. So now we say, we believe Brother Branham. All right? Then you got to say amen to what he said. Or oh me. You know? And I'm honest. Sometimes I've had to say oh me. That's, you know, it cuts you. You know, the Word does, but it's there for a reason. All right. But see, then why would he put, the prophet would say, like Ephesians 4? See, we read in John, we say, we got the Word. Well, what about Ephesians 4:11? That he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, teachers, going on down through there to say, for what? For the perfecting of the saints. And the prophet of God verifying that they would have to be a fivefold ministry to break this message down to the people on stature of perfect man. He said, fill me up, Lord, that I may teach others, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the bringing of these things into the church. See? All right? So that doesn't make anything. That didn't give me a raise. You know? I didn't get a raise because I said God's Word. I just believe God's Word. I believed it before I was a preacher or a pastor, and I believe it now. See? Because that's the one thing that I believe. I believe in reading what God says and believing it. Then if we're going to believe Brother Branham brought us what God said, then we have to believe that he didn't bring us something contrary. See? I'll get to it this evening. All he done was open our understanding, because he couldn't quicken it unto us. The Holy Ghost would have to be the one to quicken. So now watch this message this morning. Tie in now, back to Wednesday night, and then we'll get back and speak a little bit this afternoon on it. All right. But see, the main thing I want you to look at is you've got to have the inside teacher. All right? And the Holy Ghost is not an outside teacher. You say, well, now you're going this way, and then you're going that way. Well, show me which way to go. I mean, I'll turn the pulpit over to you, and I'll give you the notes and let you speak about this and tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about the Holy Ghost being the inside teacher. All right? But that inside teacher that's inside of you, by the new birth, the anointing. All right? And I gave you a quote down here where Brother Brown said that that was where it come. When it come down on Jesus, it came down and went in him. See? Because it's an inside teacher. All right? Now, so I gave you the quote there, paragraph 1, or page 143 of the Smyrna Church Age, that it's not an outside teacher, it's an inside teacher. He said you could hear the word, read it there as I'm talking, you could hear the word every day of your life and put the wrong interpretation on it without having the inside teacher. All right? So then we must have the inside teacher. All right? Now here's where the preacher comes in. If he don't have the inside teacher, how can he teach you? He'll teach you his own idea. He'll teach you his own thought, his own doctrine. See? So then the Holy Spirit's working on both ends, right? The Holy Spirit is supposed to be in me to get a message that I can speak to you, that the Holy Spirit inside of you will say amen back to it. Now, of course, a lot of you don't amen me, but that makes you say, well, Brother Dale, tell me what some of your people believe. I don't know, because they don't amen what I say, so I don't know what, and a lot of times they'll amen what other people are saying, but that's all right, that's your business. I just don't worry about it. I just preach the gospel. You can do what you want to, you know, about the rest of it. You can vote me out anytime you want to and get you another pastor if you think somebody else can help. And I'll sit down and say amen to it, because I want to get out of here. Not just playing around. I want to get out of here. All right. And see, you don't have to amen me for me to preach. I'm going to preach what I'm going to preach, whether you amen or not. It's, you know, it just helps you. You know, what does help keep you awake. I've hollered amen a many a time because when somebody was saying something, you know what was far, because my eyeballs were dropping, and I realized if I wake up and holler amen, I'm not going to go to sleep. So maybe it'd help you to stay awake. All right. But now listen. Get the point? God uses someone to teach us. All right. But he cannot reveal it. He can only teach it. All right? See, because the Holy Spirit's got to be inside to be able to make it alive. And Brother Ron said that Holy Spirit is down in your soul waiting on you to bring him the word. He said, and when you bring it in pure, in other words, he said it's immediately made alive. Now, if it's brought in not pure, he can't make it alive. He's going to say, uh-uh. He's going to say, nope. That's not right. Agreed? If he's in there. So then why should we worry about it? Well, I don't want to listen to Brother so-and-so. I might get deceived. No, you're already deceived. I mean, we're just born deceived. Why don't we admit it? We're born that way. And until God takes us totally and changes us all the way through, we still have a deception within us. It's called a human being. See? Of what we are. All right. But see, he chose the foolishness of preaching. What about that? 1 Corinthians 1:21. I gave you a couple of quotes from Brother Branham there on it. Question and answers on the Holy Ghost in 59 and the world is falling apart in 63. Where he says, through the foolishness of preaching, it would save the lost. Right? See, then that way we have to depend upon the one that is inside of us to lead us. Now, right? And then by doing that, then we must follow what is brought unto us. All right? And that Holy Spirit within us will tell us whether or not the preacher is right. So why do we worry about being confused? See? I could sit down and listen to the Pope of Rome explain the Catholic Church to the details. That wouldn't deceive me. You know, I listened to a man 8 hours one day explain the Mormon doctrine. When it finished, you know what I said? I said, you wouldn't believe it, but most of the people I follow around and myself believe what you believe. They just call it the message. You know, and I was truthful, because that's the two souls coming down from the Mormon doctrine of preexistence, all right? But now, listen, get my point. See, we need the teacher or the fivefold ministry. Because, see, it just says teacher, and a lot of people just, you know, that they take one word. Now, I believe we need the fivefold ministry. All right. I believe we need all the fivefold ministry, not just one ministry. There's no such thing. I don't have it all. There's no way that it won't work in one individual. Brother Branham had it all. But he sat down and listened to the fivefold ministry. Okay? So then he showed what we need to do. All right. But we need the fivefold ministry to speak to us the word of the Lord that God has made alive to them. All right. Now, that's where we'll get to this evening. You'll see more about it. You know, how can they preach without they be sent? See? All right. Because that way, God cannot quicken anything that has error in it. Now, you show me that he can. There's just no way. He can't quicken it. That's why he told me years ago, he said, you preach the gospel, I'll back it up. And I thought, my Lord, I'm preaching and would challenge the world of this message to come show me I was wrong. But I knew later on what he was saying. Just stay with it. Just keep on going. Just keep going right on down the road. No matter what everybody else does, just go right on down the road preaching the gospel. Because it's foolishness. Brother Branham, you know what he's saying. He said, now, to God, the world is foolishness. He said, but to the world, God's word is foolishness. Because they don't believe it. All right. And see, then, through the foolishness of preaching, you got saved. Amen. Well, no, I didn't. I heard it from the prophet. Now, back to number one where we was a while ago, you heard it from a man. You say, I don't believe in listening to no man. You listen to Brother Branham. You're listening to a man. All right, then you listen to the Lord Jesus. You're listening to a man. See, what we're saying falls apart. But yeah, that's not going to change anybody. Because you know what? They're going to go right on believing what they believe in. They're going to go right on listening to whatever and playing tapes. And that's all right. See? You know, that's their business. That's nothing to me and you. That's no concern. It's just an explanation of telling you what I'm talking about. Now, I want to speak more this afternoon on the point of how that the fivefold ministry is involved in your salvation. See? But now we want to take a point to try to get it for this morning. All right. See, my point I want you to see is as the fivefold ministry is teaching us the word, see, we must have that inside teacher. Okay? Because if we don't, we have nothing to quicken it unto us, you know, to make it alive to us, and we can't get what's being said. All right? So now we know that the anointing is the Holy Spirit, all right? And it dwells within you. The unction is within you. All right? Now, then we know that it's using others to speak to us. It can even use people to speak that are not Christians. You know, not born again bride. Right? See? I told you about the man that preached, all you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, and everybody else started praying in Jesus Christ. And I said, Brother Mode, I'm ready to go to the water, because I was in the Baptist church. I had to go get that straight, because I seen I had to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? See? And God used that man. And I hope he gives him eternal life for that one message he brought. You know, I do. I want everybody to be there. But now listen. See, that anointing is to be the inside teacher that we must have to teach us the word. Now, follow what I'm saying for just a second. Because if it's not the inside teacher, we will agree. And the biggest portion of the religious world does this, agrees with the Bible being right. Is that right? I mean, you go to the Baptist church today and you hold up a Bible, it's a Holy Bible, and they say, we believe every word that's in there. Well, you know, to a degree they do. But then you start telling them the things that are in there about one God and the water baptism, and they'll go along with the one God until you hit the water baptism. See? Then they'll rebel against you. All right? Why? Because they've been taught all of their life of the Trinity. They've sung songs since they were cradles up, see, of the Trinity. Well, you know, don't condemn them. Just remember where you and I came from. Because we sung the same songs and we had the same thoughts, right? See? But see, we need the inside teacher to keep us straight. Because now here's what I want you to see. If you don't have the inside teacher, then you'll take what man says, become religious, etc., go to church, be a church member, fill the pews, whatever, doing, you know, and the whole world will preach you to heaven when you die. Right? But see, that don't have anything to do with it. That you say, well, you don't want us to live right? No, I want you to get saved. If you get saved, then you live right. That's a simple answer to anything. You know, you don't want me to do this? No, no. I want you to get born again. I'm not telling you to go out and live like the devil. I'm just telling you, you are. Problem solved? We are the devil until we get born again. What are we? All right? So then I get what we're talking about. We know the message, because this is what's hard, was hard seemingly to a lot of us to understand, but you know, you can be anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit every day of your life and still be lost. Now, you think you could explain that to a denominational world? You think you can explain that to Pentecostal people? That's all they are, is that upward geared gunction, you know. Oh, I feel it. And I'm going to say this about three times this morning. Please, don't think that Brother Dale is saying that there's not an anointing that comes down. Now, you'll hear me, the statements I'll be making and reading will sound like that, but please don't do it now, because that's not what I'm saying. Because I believe in the feelings of the Lord. I believe in the presence of the Lord. I've seen things. I've told you about it. So then don't misunderstand me. All right? But see, what is the good of all of that if we're not born again? What is the good of all that we see? All the presence of the Lord. Brother Branham McCauley, he said, that's the blessings. That's the blessings of the Lord. See? Now, who wouldn't want the presence of the Lord? I know I offended people. You remember some of them were talking about the parousia or parousia, the way they said you pronounce it, and they said it's the presence of the Lord. I said, well, according to the Bible, it's parousia is used for, parousia is used for Antichrist as well as used for Jesus Christ. I said, it simply means standing beside of you. And I said, I don't want the Lord standing beside of me. Someone said, you don't want the Lord beside of you? I want him with me everywhere I go. They didn't understand what I said. If he's standing there beside him and not in me, he's going to have to kill me one day. Right? If he's standing there and not in here, he'll have to destroy me. See? But I want to talk about anointed ones. See? Or the anointing would be the better part of the title. All right? Now, we know the message. And we're supposed to understand, all right, that the prophet taught these things and says you can be anointed, as I said, with the genuine Holy Spirit. That was hard for him to understand. See? The Lord had to speak to him and show him. See? All right? Because that would be a hard thing to do, is to try to understand how that could be done. But he would use people like Caiaphas. You know, was he the one? One of them said, you know, that it's necessary that one die for the sins of the people. One of the high priests said that. I believe it was Caiaphas. Well, see, that was, Brother Brown said, that was the anointing of the Holy Spirit speaking the word. See? And that's why to me that when John came and said, who you see the Holy Ghost descending and remaining. You remember John the Baptist? Who you see the Holy Ghost descending and remaining. The Bible emphasizes. Why? Because you could go see Caiaphas. Caiaphas get up in front of the congregation under the high priest anointing and just prophesy. Oh, yeah. And surely he'd heard of Balaam. Yeah. You know? how that Balaam could say the thing? You know that what Balaam said is written in the Bible?
All right.
See, but that anointing, can be upon you. And if you're not born again, what are you? Anointed ones. Right?
Amen.
I gave you the quote, so you read the quotes. See? All right. He said, genuine anointing, trying to do God a service at his will. And knoweth it not, he said, but still you're lost. He gets to Christ revealed in his own word. Number 9 on your notes, sir. He said, out here in the spirit realm, you can be anointed.
Right.
See? With the genuine Holy Spirit.
Right.
See? And be anointed ones.
Right.
Oh, if I could just feel His presence. Oh, if I could just feel the Lord. No, if I could have the Lord inside of me.
Right.
Then I don't worry about the feelings because I know they're going to come. Right? Anointed ones have to work upon the basis of gifts and things and bringing the presence of God and singing Him down and worshiping down or fasting or praying or doing. And Brother Brandon said they can even cast out devils, heal the sick, and just be anointed on their spirit. He said, in their soul, they're lost.
Right.
Now, that's hard to swallow sometimes.
Amen.
But it's Bible.
Amen.
So we got to believe it.
Right.
See? So now, is that anointing just anointing you, or is it inside of you? See what I said? When I say these things like that, see, then you'll think that I'm saying that there is not something coming down. No, sir, now, don't get that. I've seen God, I've seen angels, I've smelt the presence of the Lord. You know over my testimony of all these years. So don't think nothing like that about me that I don't believe in the presence. I'll tell you sometimes that come on up here, the presence of the Lord is here. You know? All right? See, I believe in the presence of the Lord. And I want the presence of the Lord. And I wish He would walk with me. I used to when I was when Brother Moat first started talking to me about the message, and I was lost. As far as I was a denominational believer, but I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I feel His presence so close to me until I'd be walking up the driveway at the house after getting out of the car talking with Brother Moat about the message. And I knew He was there. And I'd look around to try to find Him because there was somebody with me. You know, I believe in that. So don't misunderstand me when the statements I make may sound like that I'm just dealing. No, you just got to have it inside. Got to have it inside. Got to have it inside. I ain't saying that.
Amen.
So now you go tell somebody that's the way Brother Dale believes it. You're a liar and you face God as that.
Amen.
Okay? That's plain, but it's truth.
Right.
But see, I believe on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, and I've explained it to you, so I'll go through it again. What's the difference in anointed ones anointed on their spirit and a genuine Christian? What's the difference? You have, if you are a Christian, you are a born-again Christian, and you've been a Christian, I don't care how long, 10 years, 2 seconds, or 40 years. Do you know that you're anointed just exactly like anointed ones? That's what people don't understand. See, they don't want to go that way. The anointing comes on your spirit. All right? On your spirit realm. And the same anointing is upon you as a Christian as the anointing that's upon Balaam or the others, whatever. See? Anybody you would say is false. What's the difference? Because what happened was, that's why that I believe it like I do, that the new birth is a birth of the Word.
Amen.
Those disciples took the Bible, said they took the Word and held it. And when the Holy Ghost fell, it quickened what Word they had inside of them.
Amen.
It didn't quicken the seals and the thunders and the plagues and the vials. It didn't quicken that to them back there.
Right.
It quickened what they'd heard and made that alive. So that Holy Spirit comes down, that anointing upon your spirit. And when it does, if there's something in there for it to quicken, it'll make that Word alive in you. Then inside of you is not just an anointing, but the anointed.
Right.
is inside of you. Now remember, I said this is a background, if I get through. Not, I'll finish it this evening. This is a background for what I left off Wednesday night, okay? That anointing, see, can be upon your spirit and you still be lost.
All right.
So it's important to hear the word. And the disciples took the word and held it, the Bible said. All right. It emphasized what they'd done with it. Because like Peter said, where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What can we do? All right. So that anointing can come down and anoint you. And you do great signs and wonders. And still lost. But if you've heard the truth, the word, the truth, then God, when the Holy Spirit drops down as the anointing, that Holy Spirit can drop right on into the soul as the person of Jesus Christ. That's the difference between a person that's not born again and one it is. One that's born again has the person of Jesus Christ, which is not just the anointing. It is the anointed himself. It is the God himself. It is the very anointed that drops within your soul and makes alive that word and ours in your birth. Now, you follow me with that? Because if you follow me, I want to go a little further and let you see. But you would say then, well, Brother Dale, why would God allow these things to take place like that? Why would he allow the anointed ones to be there? Why would he allow all of these things to happen? You know where I'm going. Go to Deuteronomy. Let's read what the Bible says about it. Deuteronomy 13. Let's read what the Bible says of why God will allow anointed ones to be here in the last days, especially because we've been down through time all the way down through from the time the Holy Ghost fell. That's what John was explaining. The Antichrist was already there. So then it was back there. Anointed ones was back there, just like, you know. But listen, all right, go to Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Now listen. Now see, we're always based upon the basis that if a prophet give you a sign and a wonder, you're supposed to believe it. All right, that's wonderful. That's right. That's true. Watch the rest of the story, though. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, listen, let us go after other gods. Now watch. Which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Now his sign, his wonder come to pass. He tells you what's going to take place. 30 people laying in caskets. They're all going to raise from the dead. Well, glory, hallelujah, we got to follow that. But what if he's taking you to another God? You know what another God is? Another God is another form of the word, or what you've taken of your own two souls, seventh unto virtue, parousia, son of man, river Jordan. How many more can we name? That they've went after another God. Why? Because they went after another doctrine, a word. He said, well, you shouldn't talk about them. I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about doctrines. See? All right. But look what he says. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And he does it to prove you. He's going to prove you. He's going to try you. All right, go over to verse chapter 18 while we're at it. Let's read another one. All right. Let's see, what is 18:20? But the prophet which shall presume. Well, let's go to verse 19 to seal in what I was saying. Because he's talking about a prophet. Verse 18, I'll raise up a prophet among you, among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, listen, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of them. So if a prophet says something, you've got to believe it if it comes to pass. Balaam's prophecy was perfect. His doctrine, wrong. All right, so watch now. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And watch. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? He give you a sign, it come to pass. It says, how? See? How are we going to know the word? In other words, how are we going to know whether the prophet's right or not? How do you know whether Brother Branham's right or not? There's people that says he said this and it ain't come to pass. There's people that said he said this and it ain't come to pass. There's people said that he was hunting at the wrong date out in Arizona. That the cloud appeared February the 28th, which is correct. And Brother Random wasn't out there until March the 8th. And that's correct. They can prove it. It's correct.
Right.
Well, what are you going to do? I'm like Brother Dick, though. I'll put it in my words. This prophet has brought me an understanding of opening it, at least naturally, to the natural letter of the word being correct.
Amen.
And right.
Right.
And no matter what man says about him,
right,
I'm not concerned. Because he said one time, you know, the Lord condemned him, remember, for killing game for other people? He promised the Lord, but we better read all he promised. He said, Lord, I won't kill no game for nobody else unless it's an emergency. Read it. Unless there was some reason that was needful, he would kill game. Because I'd go out, and like I told him at Dorva one time, he said, we're getting laid off. What are you going to do if we run out of money? I said, I got a milk bucket. And I said, my neighbor's got chickens. And I said, I got a garden. My garden runs out, my neighbor's chickens runs out. I said, I'll go milk my neighbor's cow. Because we got to live. Yeah. And that's above the laws of God on the, you know, the natural land things out there. All right, but listen. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Now read the next verse. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not... Now he's breaking it down. Nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
Right.
All right. But what's the point?
Right.
God allows anointed ones to test you and I. I gave you a couple of quotes after this to where Brother Branham is covering that God tests you. He'll make you sick, he said. He said, put you in the hospital. He'll make you sick. He makes all kind of things happen to Christians.
Right.
The Lord does that. He's got to permit it. Satan can't get on me. What do you think kept me well all these years? God didn't let Satan get on me, put on me what he did on other people. I'm the first to admit that. Because I believe it. I believe, like Brother John Martin said, why can't we pray? Years, way back years ago. He said, why not pray before, to keep it away instead of waiting until we get it and then pray for it?
Amen.
Pray that God will take care of you.
Amen.
See? You know, do it the right thing. But see, God does things to test you and I.
Amen.
To see whether or not we're going to stay with the Word. Amen. Allow someone to come and give you a sign. What would happen right today? Come on now. You be just as honest as you can be, because I try to be. Well, what would happen to 90% of the people of this message if some man appeared on the scene and I'm going to quote you, it's already happened, so hold on. That signs and wonders would follow the person. What's 90% of the people this message is going to do? Probably 99. They're going to run after it like crazy. There was a man right after Brother Branham passed away. Now I'm quoting from what a man said, and I've got where I'm trying to keep from saying names, because, you know, but I can call the name. But they went to this man after Brother Branham, and shortly after he passed away. And they went, big name in the message, and sat down to listen to him because he had signs and wonders following him. And they could not argue with him about what was taking place. Now that happened somewhere about 1966. Don't you think Satan will try his best to impersonate everything? What if somebody walked in here today and looked like Brother Branham? Come in. Come on, I'm not against anything. I've done told you what I believe now, so don't go say, Brother Branham, Brother Dale's picking on this, that. I'm not picking on nothing. I'm telling you like it is. How are you going to check what anybody does? I'm going to take Brother Branham's message, and I'm going to sit down and listen to it. When we're through, I'm going to say, Brother, what about this? If he can't take what Brother Branham said here and put it in what he's saying, then I'm going to tell him to his face he's false. And not going to worry about it. Because that's what they've done in the days of Paul. Brother Branham said, I'll be glad to see the day to come for to do it. Why? Because we got the message to check. In other words, if somebody come along, you know what Brother Ram taught, that hell's not eternal. Well, then somebody come along now, and some big something happened. Somebody looked even like him. Somebody that would have mannerism like him, or somebody preached like him. And signs and wonders take place. And he said, but I've come here to tell you Brother Ram was wrong about that, because hell is eternal. Something's wrong with your inside teacher if you don't get up and say you are false. You mean you do it? If I don't do it, you make me do it. I done told you that. The man comes here and challenges us. If I won't stand here and accept his challenge and him off the word, you get me up and you throw me up here where he's at. I believe that and mean it. I done stood too long for what this message is, for somebody to come along with some little sissified something and change it. That's why I'm so hard against all these doctrinal issues that come out. Because they're taking you to another God. They're leading you away from that. And the inside teacher is the one that's supposed to teach us. We were sitting up in a certain place, and a whole row of us were sitting there. I won't call the place nor the names, but we're sitting there, and there's a whole row of believers from here, and Brother Richard Wilkes and them were sitting there. And everybody in the building was up and down and a joy and a jumping and a going, all except one row. We didn't move a muscle. We didn't make a scene. I guess we was a scene, but we didn't mean to be. You know, we just sat there. Because I wouldn't go jump up with the rest of them and holler, amen, because I didn't agree with the man. Why? Because we've got the Bible. The prophet never come to change the Bible. He come to tell us what it said. You say, well, what do you mean, tell us what it said? He come to tell us it didn't teach so Trinity. But we said it did. He didn't change the Bible. The Bible said there's just one true and living God. Oh, church. Through the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching. All right. And what did he do? Through the foolishness of preaching, God's going to save the people. I didn't put that in the Bible. I didn't make myself a preacher. God did. All right. We have the saying, Mama called, Daddy sent, or Daddy called, and Mama sent, or something like that, you know. And that's what a lot of people do. And you know what most people, I won't cover that this evening, so if you don't want to come back, that'd be all right. I want to talk a little bit about this anointing in a way like this. You know, that most people think that preaching the gospel is because they can get your attention and make you get involved with what they're doing. Brother Dick, you mind if I quote something from you? We were sitting in a minister's meeting years ago. Won't call no names, there are no doings. We were sitting there in a minister's meeting. Brother Dick was very young at that time, but he picked up something. This brother, he got up, they announced him, and they introduced him, and he was up there. Boy, he was dressed to a T. Everything was wonderful, you know. And I said, nothing wrong. We always say, Brother Richard Marlowe's the best dressed person in Lula. That's nothing against it. Why do that? But I mean, he had everything. He had the doing. He had the charisma. He had everything. You know? And he started talking. And he said, now, Brother Anderson, you get scripture. So Acts 2:38, you get that one. Now, Brother Danny, you get this one. And you get this one. And you get that one. And that's not nothing wrong with it. Right? But you know what that is? That's an involvement. Involvement, ever how you say the word, getting you involved.
Right.
See? Look back there and I see Brother Colley asleep and I say, Brother Colley, stand up and read. I got his attention. Right? See? Everybody thinks that's preaching. The Antichrist, you'll see it. There it is in John 6:66. Everybody's, I've never seen that. That ain't the Antichrist just because it's 666. That's what Brother Al said about that brother typed all them things and all, and he went out and looked at his tag number, and his tag number is 666. And he said, man, there's something. So we stopped to get some gas, the reason it all came up. We stopped to get some gas, and I was putting in gas, and I didn't even look. I turned around, Brother Al said, put another penny in. I said, put some more gas in. I said, why? He said, look at the meter. 666. I hung it up and died laughing. God, I wasn't. I don't X the road when the black cat crosses. I try to keep from running over the cat. It's what everybody thinks. I X'd it and run over the dead cat. I ain't got no bad problems now, you know. Okay. Just getting a point. Let me review just a second then. See, we believe in anointing. We believe in the presence of God. Brother Branham would call it, and I really don't know what it means. I'm honest. I never have been able to find out what. He called it the August presence. Yeah. In some sections of the country, August is good. This section of the country, August is hot. Now, I don't know what it means. Maybe some of you do, because there's a lot of things I don't know. Aaron asked me a question when he first came down this way, and I couldn't answer it. And he said, Brother Dale, couldn't answer that question. Well, there was no need me telling him I could. I didn't know the answer. But listen, I believe in the presence of God. Oh, what a wonderful feeling you can have. I told you about sitting on that deer stand one day, and boy, I was so, man. And I mean, down in the middle of thousands of acres of government land, I was mad as a hornet. I said, there ain't no deer around here nowhere. And Lord, I asked you to give way to deer where I could talk to him. And you hadn't done it yet. And here I am. And about that time, the prettiest perfume you've ever smelled in your life come down through them woods. And I said, now some crazy female is up there in the woods pumping her pottle, you know, spraying the wood, herself over with a perfume. I got down, went down on the ground, sat down there crying and arguing and fussing and mad as a hornet, I guess. And said, my Lord. I get up. Walk back up to where we was camped. Here comes a truck. What a great big old deer. Walk out and looked at it. I said, Donald, glad you got one. He said, I didn't get it. That's my brother-in-law. He said, he got it. See, God was fulfilling his promise to me while I was arguing and fussing about it and smelling his presence. It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. See? Well, Brother Dale, I've never done that. Well, maybe you ain't prayed enough. Right? Maybe you ain't never got desperate enough. But I believe in the presence of God. An anointing. But I believe that anointing must be an inside teacher. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he comes and lives within us. Like I've told you, being in God's mind before the world is wonderful. Everybody wants to quote that. I was in God's mind. I don't want to be in God's mind before the world. I want to be a part of God's mind. I can be in his mind and be lost and die and go to hell. Because everybody's in his mind. But if I'm part of his mind, let the mind that was in Christ be in you and make you a new creature. You see? So that inside teacher uses the fivefold ministry to speak. That's got to have the same anointing to bring it. Because if they don't, they'll bring their own ideas. All right. Now, what would we say on Wednesday? And I'll close it. We're bringing it down and got down to the time of Solomon. And I gave it back to you on the dedication message that's there with you. These are on the internet. People can pull them up and read them. Where Brother Branham is covering how that what happened when Solomon got the temple built. And when the temple was built, he said, Brother Branham says, with nothing but furniture. He said, first, an empty building, clean, washed, everything was perfect. He said, then there was just furniture put in. He said, just furniture. I made a statement, and I don't know where most of you noticed what I said. I made a statement, and right after the statement, I said, you think you've got me. And if you go back and listen to the message, you'll hear me. I said, you think you've got me, but you don't. Because, see, I told that the two tables of stone, where Brother Branham said the two tables of stone was the headstone that come into the temple. That's what he called it. The capping stones. The Ten Commandments. That was the two tables of stone that was in the Ark of the Covenant. Now Moses later in outer pockets put the five books into there. All right. Okay? Now, that word, Brother Ram called it the headstone. But now, Brother Branham's not talking about dead letter word or letters on a page being a headstone. Right? It's a live word. That's why Brother Branham on the unveiling of God, he talks about the Ten Commandments and calls it the seals. When those seals broke to the prophet, they were the Ten Commandments. Because Brother Brown said they didn't get what they thought when they got the Ten Commandments. He said they got God in letter form. They thought it was a book of rules. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They got God in letter form. Paul said the word is spiritual, but I'm carnal. In other words, my understanding of the word is carnal until God quickens that word to me. Then once it's quickened, it's made alive. Then it's God. All right? And I made the statement. I said, even though those two tables of stone in the ark came in, it was still furniture. And then we talked about how that when it was all finished, then the Shekinah glory, the prophet said, come and fill the room, and they couldn't minister. I was questioned a little bit after the service about it, and I made the statement to the person, and I said, well, you notice I said that you think you got me. But I said, that's not true. See, it would have took so long to, I'd have had to preach this message to be able to explain it. So there was no way to do it Wednesday. All right. Now listen. I know the Bible. And I don't mean that I know everything about it. Get off of that. I mean, I know the Bible. What I looked it up. Okay, that means I looked it up. Everybody says I know the Bible. That means they know. No, I can't even quote John 3:16. I ain't lying to you. You tell me to quote to you the Lord's Prayer, and I probably wouldn't get it correct, because I've never tried to memorize the Bible. I try to read the Bible to see what it's saying to me. So is it with the prophet's message. See? Read it to see what it's saying to you. Don't try to memorize it. You're tying up your brain in memory. You need your brain for the Holy Spirit to do it. And I was noticing last night, I was looking at her today, Brother Brown said, we need our brain baptized. I said, glory. Need our brains baptized, and that's what we need. But now listen. When those two tables of stone came in that temple, now I want to ask you a simple question. The anointing fell, right? The Shekinah glory came, filled a room that they couldn't minister. Is that Bible? Do we need to read it? You're reading, Brother Branham's, that need to read it there in 2 Chronicles 5 is a little better than Kings is actually explaining it. But it filled the temple. All right. Now, where did that anointing come from? Well, brother, what do you mean, Brother Dale? It just come down out of the sky. Did it come down out of the sky? Or did it come out of that Ark of the Covenant? That's all I want to know. Did it come out of that Ark of the Covenant? Or did it come something out of the sky that feels like rain falling down? I said, you'd misunderstand me. Because you think I don't believe in something happening. I believe that. I believe the Shekinah glory was all over the place, falling down. But where did it come from? Because you better remember. That's why I said, you think you got me, but you don't. That's why I said, I know what the Bible said. Go back over and read. Exodus 40. And you'll find that when Moses got that tabernacle in the wilderness finished, everything was okay. You remember? They could work in there. They could do. But all at once, when that Ark of the Covenants was established to put in there, they had to back out. Moses, the man that made the temple, backed out. And nobody could go behind there but the high priest. After that word found its place in that tabernacle in the wilderness, the tent. See, the one in Chronicles is the Solomon building the natural temple. See, it was coming to a greater time. It doesn't say in Exodus 40 that the Shekinah glory come down and all of these things. Let's read it. We'll make sure you won't miss it. Let's go to Exodus 40 so you won't miss what I'm saying. So just save time to reading, coming down to read, look at 4:31. And Moses and Aaron, his sons, washed their hands and their feet thereof when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. Now remember, you could come in there so far. But only the high priest could go behind the veil. See, once it was made. All right. Watch. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court. So Moses finished the work. Now watch. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the Lord filled the tabernacle. All right. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode upon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. All right. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. And it was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Next verse, right? So get what I'm saying. When that temple was finished back there with Moses, a cloud came down. come to honor the word. But it doesn't say they couldn't minister, they couldn't do this, because that cloud would raise up out from inside the tabernacle. And it would go off and they'd have to follow it. And that's what Moses followed. Nobody else didn't see it. He said, okay, pack up, let's go. The cloud says move. Nobody else didn't see it. Moses was the only one who saw it. All right? Pillar of fire would be there at night, and when it hovered in one place, they camped. Get what I'm talking about, the point. When it come over there with Solomon, inside of that Ark of the Covenant, dwelt the presence of the Lord. The cloud, the pillar of fire, dwelt there. Where did the anointing come from? Out of there. All I want to ask you is one more question. Where's the anointing at now? See, you amen me up to now. Let's see if you follow me. Where's the anointing at now? It's inside of you.
Amen.
Right? But that don't mean he can't come out here and anoint us. And feel his presence and walk and see things and open our eyes to things and speak to us. But let me see, and I could preach another couple of hours, but I won't. Elijah was in a cave one day, and he heard thunders and lightnings and flashings and all kind of things. And he wouldn't get up and walk out. Is that true? And all at once, a still, small voice from inside of him spoke. He got up and walked out. Because he knew that was God. Now, he didn't even have the new birth.
That's it, right here, man.
But he could be led of God.
Amen.
He could be anointed.
Come on.
But he didn't have the new birth.
That's right.
All right.
Hallelujah.
See, great things can happen to a person that's not born again.
That's right.
But the revealing of the word is what I want.
Amen.
Come on, brothers. Revealing of the word is what I want. The anointing that anointed that. Now, let me give you one last one. It's on the last page of your notes, number 19. Daniel 70 weeks, Brother Branham says, when the bride rides back into the millennial reign, fulfilled in Revelation, what, at 19, I believe it is, where she come, where did it come back to the millennial reign, he said, the anointing is upon them. The anointing is up on them. It's not to come from somewhere else. It's inside of you. That's the only way I know what the truth is whatever's inside of me tells me. Whatever has kept me from following these doctrines and all, you know where it's at? It's inside of me. It's not up here in this head, because this head runs haywire over doctrinal issues. But inside of me, something says, that's not right. That's the Lord. How can I argue with these people? I said, but it's not right. Now, I'll finish it because you'll think it's a wrong statement, but I believe it. How is it that I tell you that I check a doctrine? How do I check a doctrine? How do you check a doctrine, Brother Dale? By my new birth. Because that's the only way you're going to know where it's right or not. Is by your new birth. Let's stand. Now, this is just a background for this afternoon. But you see where I didn't finish it last Wednesday night? I left it to where I said that's furniture, meaning it was the word. But now we see right out of that word, right out of that comes the anointing. Right out of there is where that anointing comes for the whole temple. If we could have seen it, it would have just been that pillar of fire coming up, the cloud. Because the cloud was in there, and it just went up, and then it come down and just baptized everybody. Where was that anointing at? It was inside of Jesus. And when it went out, it come back on the day of Pentecost and just anointed and fulfilled Joel. See, I've got all these scriptures and things written down, but I believe you got the point. It fulfilled Joel and things like that. What? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Anointed ones. But upon my children, and my handmaids will be it. Go ahead, brother.
272 in Spiral.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Fill my cup, Lord.
Is that your desire?
Get up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven.
Come and anoint us, Lord. One day the prophet said, there'll come such a baptism of the Holy Ghost that'll fill every fiber of your being. And we'll go into rapture. There'll be another Pentecost. But this one will be to take us out. Such an anointing. But I love this other one. Brother Branham said, after the door of the Gentile church is closed, I'll anoint a church then. God will do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000. He said, but he's doing it now. See, from that new birth comes all we have need of. Just let it push out. Anybody have a need? Do you know that God? Thing of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Sing it unto him and think about him. Sister standing for Brother Arline. He's not well. So let's believe it. All right. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you to put a burden upon our sister's heart for Brother Arline. We just ask you, Father, to reach down and touch him. And let him know your presence is real. Because we believe you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just believe it. Anybody else? Up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I won't know.
Here's my...
hurt our brother. You forgive him, Lord. You cleanse that away from him. He had a test in front of him and he failed it. Lord, maybe what he was saying and what he's doing might have been all right, but it wasn't a Christian attitude. So we don't want that. We don't want our rights. We want what you want us to have. And Father, we just ask you to reach down and touch our buddy. Cleanse that away from him and give him joy back in his heart. Because he's down and out about that part of failing you. So now you come and just touch him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Bread of heaven, just feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. See, a lot of times we do, you know, get upset, everything else. It's not right. God's trying to work out things in our hearts and lives, but we're still human. I don't justify nothing. It's just truth. We're still human. We think wrong, we act wrong, but that God wants to be with us and get that away from us. So he just gives us tests sometimes to see, and then one day we've got a test and we find out, well, hey, we passed it. I got through that without any trouble. But just remember who got you through it. Amen. Father, our buddy's got a problem with in his body. He's facing a lot of tests and things for different things, Lord. His back's hurting him and all kind of problems. Going for those tests, we ask you that you just make all well. But not just to see the tests be all right, but that make the body well. Take away the problems, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Here's my cup of Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Do you? Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Come on, license. Head of heaven. Father, you heard our little buddy. Now you come on the scene. Show him that you love him and manifest yourself. May he just submit himself to you and be guided by you in Jesus' name. I lift it up. Do you? Jesus. We have a test. We fail the test. That don't mean we flunked the whole subject. It just means we're going to go back through it again. We're going to have a time that we're going to have to face that situation again. And then we look at it and we walk right through it and believe. Thank you, Lord. Just reach down, touch our sister and let her know all is well. Everything's right. And then just give her the grace to stand the test. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's my cup, Lord. Anybody else have a need?
Brother Sam, I want to stand.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, just feed me till I want. My cup, fill it up and make me whole.
You take her a prayer cloth. Tell her we're praying for her.
I lift it up.
Let's believe. Father, our brother's asking for his mother. Lord,
this thirsty God.
We sympathize with her with all of the hurting and the agony and things, Lord. Just reach down and touch her, Father. Deliver her from this condition. We know you can make all things well. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You believe it? Just pray one for another. Because we go through tests and we fail. You know what? Tomorrow may be my test. The next day may be yours. So we pray for each other. And that way we make it through. Oh yeah, we fail the test, but we don't flunk the subject. You know. We just got the test to go through again. See? Then just stand up and walk. Nothing wrong with falling down. I learned to walk that way. Yeah. Learned to ride a bicycle because I kept falling down and hurt me. And one day I learned, well, I do better if I stay up straight, you know. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. But just remember that, all right? Father, we thank you. We love you. As we go our separate ways for a few moments, Lord, to eat a natural meal, we pray that you would just bless and guide each one. And remember all those that are not here and just bless them. And lead us all in thine understanding. Forgive our sins and cleanse us and guide us in your grace. We love you, Father. We commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss. Remember the service is
after all this life.